thanks to HelloFresh.com for supporting the morning stream. Receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code TMS30. Coming up on TMS, Oscar came in here and left a stain.
Just one more Big Mac.
You're going to love this lady, Brian.
I am my own twin.
The Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's the talk of Southeast Missouri. What's that? Why, the big money-saving sale now in progress at the Batten Furniture Company in Steele, Missouri.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. There's a snake in my boots.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, a brand new, fresh week right out of the oven. It's Monday, March 5th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Scott Johnson.
Oscar's hangover time.
I love the fact that they ended, you know, like a minute or two before 10. It was a refreshing change.
Yeah, best I could tell. And I had done a couple of rewinds to watch a couple of weird things that happened, like someone tried to kiss someone and they got totally denied.
There was
a couple other moments like that. So I did a little DVR back and forth, and they still ended with like 9 minutes to spare. That's incredible. Wow. They never do
really
that.
Incredible.
Don't they always go long? That's the rule.
They seem like they always go long, because one of our tiebreakers on our Oscar party night is how long will the actual telecast be?
Well, I'm convinced.
No one had the under.
I'm convinced that the reason it went short is that whole jet ski thing. I think it actually had a subversive effect.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
It probably made people conscious of it. I don't think, aside from maybe one or two people, I don't think anyone was really going for the jet ski. But that was a brilliant move to make everybody aware of the time they spent.
Yeah. Plus, it was just a nice self-effacing kind of, yeah, we go long, so here's a fun little idea. Plus, he said no one's ever going to get played off the stage, but they still played people off the stage.
They still played people off the stage.
It was a little
I was really hoping they'd use the get out guy.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
To get people off the stage. I thought, I was like, oh, please let that. I know it's not real, but please do that. Please make that a real thing.
He's backstage. He's still there. He could do it. They should totally use that guy again.
He also hung around a little bit longer than I think it was intended.
Yeah,
he sat there on stage doing the robot almost. Like.
Well, and at first I thought, oh, okay, well, this is a comedic effect, and then he'll slowly walk out. And then he stayed.
Yeah.
And then he kept staying. And then I thought, oh, he actually doesn't know where to go.
He does not know where to go. There's no exit plan for this guy.
Yeah, nobody told him. He doesn't know to go left or right. Jimmy Kimmel's just going to go ahead and keep talking. Like, what are you going to do? Anyway, that happened. That was the thing. Now, here's a well-known fact, or let's call it a factoid.
Okay. It's like a small fact.
Yeah.
A teeny, tiny fact.
Yeah, and it's only to those who listen to the show. I don't like award shows. I've already made this clear in the past.
Right.
So every award show that I ever see, I usually kind of regret it or don't enjoy it or whatever. And a lot of times, like the Oscars, it's not for anything but I want to be able to talk on this show about it, to talk about the winners. We do a lot of lead up with the stuff you've seen previous, like you try to see all the movies ahead of time and blah, blah, blah. Across the board, we're big fans of movies, and we like to see where they end up at this big event in March.
And the awards are like a good stake in the ground to say, hey, here are some movies you should check out. These aren't all the good movies that came out last year, but these are all movies that we think are pretty good that you should check out. It's like your blockbuster movie recommendal list.
Right.
Recommendation list.
Right. You want to learn, you want to know how a guy makes dresses? Got you covered. Hey,
right, exactly.
you're looking for a fish man having sex with a lady?
On with a mute lady?
Yep. We got you covered there, too. Sure. So I like what they are, but I don't like award shows. I never have. They annoy me.
And it's really, for you, it's just mostly the self-patting on the back and the...
Yeah, just the whole, like, look at us and our glamorous bullshit. It's too much for me sometimes. So I've made that clear in the past. That's my thing. However, I'm going to surprise everybody. I really enjoyed last night's Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I figured out why. It was, generally speaking, not entirely, but generally speaking, pretty devoid of the stuff I usually hate. Like, there wasn't a lot of self-aggrandizing. There was a little political this and that, nothing horrible. But
and you don't like that, or you do like that?
I usually don't like that. I usually just is like, all right, come on, move on. Like, jokes are fine. I don't mind it. Jimmy Kimmel or whoever the host is making jokes about, you know, ripped from today's headlines. That's
sure.
That's it's part of the job. Expected. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what you're supposed to do. I totally get it. Make a Weinstein joke. You're supposed
but you don't
to
want
do it.
Michael Moore getting out there and saying, shame on you, Mr. President. Shame on you.
No, I'd rather get kicked in the nuts real hard, seriously, than listen to him ever again. I can't stand Michael Moore. I can't stand him. He's just too mad about it. So I'm always, you know, a little trepidation about who's going to get up and make it their platform to do whatever. And I'm glad that it kind of stayed insular in that what I mean by that is it wasn't a bunch of anti-right wing or anti-blah-blah-blah or pro anything. It was mostly anti quit treating women like shit and pro let's do better moving forward as an institution or as an industry. And I think that's great. That's great. To acknowledge that, to embrace it, to laugh about it a little bit, but also to get serious here and there when Mr. Lundegaard, don't you know, came out and gave her thing.
Yeah, Frances McDormand probably exemplifies the whole night, basically, with, you know, here's a joke, I'm going to fall over, so pick me back up because I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit of sugar with the medicine to help it go down better. But,
yeah, and she got right up. I mean, honestly, she got right up on the edge of where I was like, okay, that's okay. We get it. But she didn't cross it, and that's good. And it's totally fine. Plus, it's her night. It's her thing. Go for it. Do what you got to do. But for the most part, pretty good on the tone. And also, things just moved. It was like, bam, bam, bam. We got to the next thing, did the next thing. They were entertaining moments. The worst part of the night. Mm-hmm. Was the three Star Wars actors and the BB-8 trying to make jokes. It was horrible.
How was that so? It was so cringy, and I can't figure out how the rest of it was written so well. And it seems like a 12-year-old wrote their jokes like, how does BB-8 know that we have another thing to do? And I speak Yiddish.
Tee-hee-tee-hee. It sucked. That sucked. That was the worst part of the night for me. So it really bummed me out that when that happened, because I'm, you know.
I may not get to write the Star Wars movies anymore, but I'm going to go ahead and write the speeches.
George Lucas out in the audience, grinning ear to ear, super stoked about the segment.
Oh, get ready. I wrote this one. Get ready.
You guys ready? This is really funny. Yeah, that bombed. But for the most part, funny people. I didn't know Dave Chappelle was coming out there. That was great.
Dave. Oh boy, man! You know somebody's button was hanging over like a.
Oh yeah, big time.
A sensor button. Like, do we still have 7-second delay? We still have our 7 seconds, right? Okay, all right,
good. We're okay then, because Dave Chappelle's coming out. Anyway, that guy knows how to eat a microphone. I noticed this. This is a thing that comedians do because comedians are used to having that thing all up in their face, right? Yes. Just in their mouth.
Right.
And the way he was doing it was not properly tested with the way the sound system in that theater works. So it was just like this. It was really overmodulated up in his face. That made me laugh. Plus, I just love him and think he's great. And anyway, all that stuff was great. I don't know who that dude was.
I'll bet you even got a kick out of the Tiffany Haddish and Maya Rudolph stuff, and you don't usually like Maya Rudolph.
I don't normally like her. She's okay. She just doesn't bowl me over like some people think she's the funniest lady on the planet. And I kind of smile at her and that's it. I thought that was great. There were lots of microphone moments I thought were great. I think as much as Warren Beatty irritates me, I think bringing him out a second time is pretty funny. You know,
it is.
Like, let's have him do it one more time, one more shot and see if we can get this right.
And it's a morbid thought, but I mean, do you think we're doing this? Do you think they brought him back out because it's like, well, Faye Dunaway aren't going to be around much longer. Do we really want the public's last experience with Warren Beatty to be, the guy who effed up at the Oscars back in 2017.
It strikes me as a triple win because that's an aspect to it. Another aspect to it is, wouldn't it be funny if the same people who were part of the screw-up the first time got to do a do-over, a mulligan? That's kind of funny on its own.
Sure.
And then the third win I can't think of. I can't think of the third win. Oh, except I love that Del Toro was extremely careful about checking the envelope when he took it from his hand.
You did notice, by the way, that the envelopes had not just the little writing in the middle that said production design or best actress supporting in a supporting role, but like had it in big impact font in the corners as well. Like,
yeah.
We cannot miss. This is so the audience can even see like people in the balcony that kept getting talked to were even saying, "Oh, looks like that's the sound editing envelope down there."
It did look like Impact, like big ass like meme font, didn't it?
It was total Impact font, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny to me. It's like the kind you see on memes to make sure everyone gets your dank memes on the internet. But then the other thing that was a nice pleasant surprise was that, last year I watched and it was okay, mm-hmm. but I think Jimmy Kimmel's great for this.
I think so too.
Like really good. Like he doesn't get mired in the cheese. If he makes a dumb joke, he moves on. And he doesn't sit around waiting for pity laughs. Like, it's just boom, boom, boom. He seems relaxed. He seems totally in it and with it. Like, I really like him as host. So all those things work together pretty well. The set design looked like, you know what it looked like? It looked like somebody took a set from Moulin Rouge and jammed it into a giant geode rock. You know, those geode stones?
Maroon. Yeah. Yes. Yep, totally.
That was crazy, crazy set and scenes and stuff.
And I guess if you're doing music at the Oscars, make sure you have, maybe about a dozen random people who can all just stand under a spotlight and just stare at the camera awkwardly for the duration of your song.
That was odd, I thought. It was a bit weird.
Odd that it was like, oh, we're doing this again with the...
Well, the rapper one made sense because they were all actually called out like activist people and they were singing a song about activism. So I got that. Right. It'd be nice to know who they were, because what good does it do to see some random folks up there? I'm like, okay,
that guy's a chef because he's told the chef hat, and then that's a little kid right there, and that looks like I don't know, Angelina Jolie's oldest son, Maddox.
Right. What are these kids? I especially wanted to know, what did the little kids do? Did they do something cool? Should I know about this? And instead, they were just like, I'm coming and I'm rapping a song in to get in my way because we've got to get this railroad finished. And then the lady, and then these people in the back are like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what's up. So some of that was a little nonsense. Also, the guy that started the Coco Remember Me song, he was he's off key as hell. Who the hell was that?
That's what is it? It's the actor. It's Gabriel Gael Garcia. No.
Who did he play this? He played the Bones guy.
Yeah, he was the actor. He's also been in Y Tu Mama Tambien and
Gael
Garcia Bernal. That's the name I was trying to remember.
He sounded terrible.
Am I confusing him with somebody else?
I have no idea, but he sounded terrible. He sounded awful. What was that about? Why'd they have him sing? It was terrible. He's off key the whole time.
He's the actor. He's the actor in the role. He's the guy you first hear singing as Hector in the movie.
But he sounded so much better in the movie. He was off key up there, dude. Did you not notice that? You didn't notice
Mozart
that.
Mozart in the Jungle. You've seen him in Motorcycle Diaries.
Oh, then that makes it all better then, that he sounded terrible. He was so bad.
He did like one line or like one verse. Oh, Garcia Bernal alone.
He sang a whole paragraph. It's like he wasn't invited to rehearsals and he couldn't hear what the music sounded like. So it was just him trying to catch the key somehow. It was bad. The rest of the song's fine. It's fine.
I was just happy that we got to see the guy who played Satan in the Street Fighter movie up there to do a little introduction.
Satan? Wait a minute. Who are you thinking of? It's not Satan.
I'm thinking of Wes Studi.
Yeah, Wes Studi, but the name of the character is not Satan. It is...
Oh, is it not?
It's the Indian guy, although when I say Indian, I mean East Indian. He's the one with the stretchy arms. Dalsim is who he plays.
Dalsim. I'm sorry, Dalsim. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he was in like Geronimo and Last of the Mohicans and all
right.
that.
Right, I mean, you know, Last of the Mohicans and...
Yeah.
But...
You know what I wanted from him?
Victor Sagat is who he played in
Street Fighter. Played Sagat. All right, Sagat. Never mind. Wrong character, I'm thinking.
Sorry.
Who played Dalsim and who the hell is Satan?
Satan is just the name that I remembered as we were sitting there watching it last night. Satan? Was there a guy named Satan?
Gotta wait for Street Fighter VI introducing Satan.
Satan. Don't call him Satan.
No.
It's pronounced Satan. But his name was Rush on Seth.
What I want to have happen didn't happen. Yeah. And this is only in my own head. But down in the front row, you got a three-name actor, the thread guy. What's his name? You will drink your milkshake. Can't think of his name.
Daniel
Day-Lewis sitting down there. And he's
a lot of three-name guys.
Yeah. he's down there, and we all know that this thread deal was his last movie. He says he's retiring, right? Mm-hmm. So he's done making movies.
He's just going to sit at home drinking milkshakes.
Sure. He's sitting down there in the front row. On comes Wes Studi.
Right.
Onto the stage. Now, I am old enough to remember when Wes Studi tried really, really hard to throw a hatchet into the back of Daniel Day-Lewis in Last of the Mohicans.
Oh.
So I was hoping we could get up there, and maybe it's a Nerf axe. I don't care how you do it. But get up there and go.
Just like reenact.
Yeah! Just chuck it down in the audience. Yeah!
Hey, look, you know what? I'm sure, who wouldn't love that? But I'm I'll take the fact that Jane Fonda made a Barbarella reference during her thing.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Making reference to the freaking Orgasmatron, which I think is like, wow, okay.
Yeah, that was good. Deep.
Way to remember something that a lot of us had forgotten as well, but she was great, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think she's not real, though. I think that was a robot they put out of Android. She didn't look...
No, it's her. It's her spending the entire 1980s working out.
Oh, I'm sure that's all it is. There's no plastic there. There's no...
No, none whatsoever. I'm sure there's some plastic. Yeah, but come on now.
80% plastic is my guess.
You think she Jane looked Fonda like at this point is more machine than woman?
She looked like a what do you call it? A mannequin or something. She didn't
Less
look like...
Less human than the fish guy in Shape of Water.
She smiled, and I heard these sounds like leather going... Yeah, like a bunch of servos. Anyway, she's fine, whatever. Helen Mirren's great. They were great. What's that guy in The Big Sick? He's funny as hell. He's really good.
Oh, my gosh, Kamal Nanjiani?
Yeah, we need to watch his stand-up on Netflix. I hear it's really good.
Yeah, he... I don't know if you've watched any Silicon Valley, but it is...
It's
because of him and Guilfoyle that... I tune into that show every week when it's on. Mm. And Guilfoyle is the dude from Party Down and originally on Freaks and Geeks is the big, tall, lanky nerd. And
Hey, when they went to that theater across the street.
Martin Starr. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that over there, just across the street there? And I mean, if you count everybody in the main theater, then this is too easy. But if you go over there, you had the Joker, Harley Quinn.
Right.
Wonder
Woman. I was thinking about Luke Skywalker and Harley Quinn and Wonder Woman. But yeah, of course, Joker.
He plays the Joker. Then you got Wonder Woman in there. Mm-hmm. And then you had... who else was in there? Oh, and the director of Hellboy. Like, it was a great little superhero moment there for me. I was like, all right, look at this.
I did not even think about that.
So that was pretty cool.
How do you feel about... Would you eat part of a big giant sub that Guillermo del Toro is carrying without any gloves or any wrapping on that sandwich?
Yeah, it's totally fine. Listen, after that disgusting Vaseline window and Dukes of Hazzard, anything is fine. Everything's better now because of that.
You also have the Lone Ranger over there.
Oh, yeah, Armie Hammer with his...
Armie Hammer.
And my wife's so funny. She's sitting next to me, and again, she's not even that into the award shows either, so we're kind of both, like, just waiting to be irritated. And on comes Armie Hammer with Wonder Woman. They walk out together. Mm-hmm. And she is stupid beautiful.
Yes.
I mean, it's unreal how beautiful she is, but also, she just seems so down-to-earth and nice. Like, I just think she's awesome, right?
Yeah.
So they come wandering out, and she goes, oh, I love her, and the kids are like, yeah, she's great. We should watch Wonder Woman again. Yeah, we totally should. And then he comes out and she goes, who the hell is that? And I go, well, honey, that's Armie Hammer. She goes, I don't know who that is. Is that a real name? I said, yes, Armie Hammer. You've seen him in the...
Don't we put that in the fridge to keep the food fresh?
I said, he played two guys in The Social Network. You've seen that movie.
Winklevoss twins.
Yeah, he was the twins. And then he was in that really bad Lone Ranger thing we saw.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, but why is he out there with Wonder Woman? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe he's got something going on right now. So I thought I'd ask you, what's Armie Hammer doing? You know he's got talent.
He was in the Call Me By Your Name. He was the older man that hooks up with the younger man in Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, my gosh. That was quite the, what's the word? Quite the transformation. It didn't look like him at all to me in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the movie. So
the
film I haven't seen, so all I've seen are these clips. So every time they'd show a clip from that, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, we're sure hearing a lot about this kid down there in the weird white suit. Where's this other older guy? I didn't realize that was Armie Hammer. I had no idea.
That was Armie Hammer. But, you know, I'll say this. Both of them acted fantastically in that movie. And from what I hear, the book is way better, and it got Best Adapted Screenplay. So obviously the source material is fantastic. I just felt like the age casting is what really was distracting for me. And
Well, is he supposed to be so much younger than him? Is that the
deal? No, they're not. There's not supposed to be so much of an age difference in the book.
Oh, really? Because even just the clips I see, I go, oh, okay, so this is a movie about some dude in his late 30s getting it on with some 17-year-old is what it looks
like. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like, and that's what it looked like for the entire two and a half hour running time of the film.
Oh, wow.
But in the book, the Army Hammer character isn't supposed to be that old.
Mm. Do you think there's a parallel reality where his name is Navy Screwdriver? No? You don't like that joke?
I like that joke.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That was a Star Wars trio level joke.
All I needed was a just a little rolling BB-8 to make it all perfect. That blew some people's minds last night. So we did a whole spread. Kim made homemade ramen with like curry, gravy, this and that, and just banana time ramen, like authentic ramen with bowls.
Oh, wow.
She found these bowls with like sticks in them, and oh, it was amazing. And so we had some people over, mostly just nieces, nephews. A couple of them have been married recently, so they were over. Everyone's playing D&D before the Oscars. Some of them were so into it, they kept playing. Oscar start, bunch of them come downstairs. My I guess he's my nephew-in-law now. I don't know how that works. My niece's husband.
Okay.
His name is Chuck. Oh, he's the one he's the head of the band that we played, the brother band.
Yeah.
He was there.
Brother period.
Yes. Brother period, yeah, which is... Ugh. Anyway, so he's sitting... I mean, they're a great band. It's a great band, but it invokes things. Anyway, so he's sitting there. Out comes BB-8, and he goes, "What?" I go, "What's the matter?" He goes, "How is this happening?"
Oh, did he think that BB-8 is a digital effect?
Yes.
Like, not a practical effect?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Or he says, well, even... I said, well, you didn't know that was practical? And he goes, well, I thought at least it was guys on a green screen moving it around with sticks and stuff. Mm. I'm like, well, that may be true of some scenes. I don't know. But in the case of... Generally speaking, he can move about and be, you know, that was like the big sell for 7. Remember that when they came out and at Star Wars Celebration and went, "Hey, you guys are worried it's all going to be CGI. Guess what? Beep, boop, beep." And out he came rolling. Right.
Yeah,
and I said, no, that's real.
Boulder, a local Boulder company that does the Sphero balls.
Oh, right. Well, that's
those
right.
Balls that roll around your house. Yeah.
So he was blown away and couldn't believe it and was like, I got to watch those movies again. I can't believe that thing's real. And I'm like, all right, we've all learned something today.
We've all grown just a little bit.
Yeah. Anyway, it was really fun. The D&D part was great. I just want to recommend something real quick. If you have a bunch of people in the house, if you have kids and you want to just have them quickly do it, it's so easy these days. You go to D&D Beyond, you set up an account, takes 5 seconds, it's free. You just fill out a character sheet, you do all the stuff you normally have to have a bunch of paper for. Mm-hmm. You bring dice or you have an app, it doesn't matter. You can just wing it and go. And they had a full campaign running and playing for like 2 hours. It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so highly recommend that. So anyway, there you go.
Kids came over and played D&D here last night during the Oscars. So
oh, good.
It must have just been a perfect night for D&D and Oscars, I guess.
I guess so.
Sorry,
one quick question before we move on.
Of course.
Were there any big disappointments for you? Anything happened that you were like, oh, I thought that would win or whatever?
No, I was, my predictions, you know, I did the fill out sheet and did really well. Everything, you know, best actor, actress, supporting actor and actress, best picture, best director, all that stuff I nailed. I was hoping to see, you know, I know that it's because of the Kevin Spacey thing, or at least I think it's because of the Kevin Spacey thing, but I really wanted to see Baby Driver get one of the editing awards because the whole thing is edited so beautifully in time with the soundtrack that as someone who's done like just a tenth of a percentage of that in iMovie trying to get stuff to match up,
mm-hmm.
you can totally appreciate the level of work that goes into something like that to make it look as beautiful as it did. But
downside is it was up against Dunkirk, which which is everybody thought was just going to cream everybody in editing
and did cream everybody, but
hey, yeah. Hey, my Blade Runner got 2 awards, man.
Yes, your Blade Runner.
more than two.
It was gonna get like some of the technical awards.
Well, I thought
it was gonna end up in the best picture
category. Oh, yeah.
I would have
liked
to have seen it.
I would have loved to have seen it. I think it's a bit of a robbery that it wasn't in there, but that's fine. That's just my opinion. I think that movie deserves a whole lot more credit than it's for whatever reason it's getting. I don't understand actually why it wasn't more recognized for what it is, but. maybe it's because Denise Villeneuve or whatever was in there last year, so you can't have a guy get nominated too often or else you wear his time out. Like, I don't know. I don't know, but all I know is the best movie I saw in 2017 for me was Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah,
I haven't seen anything that good since 2015, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we don't need to bring that one up. I don't think people can drink this early in the morning, Scott.
Just saying. There was even a film montage where they do the whole like magic of film and why everyone loves it, and there was a brief scene where Furiosa kneels in the dirt, and I were in the room, and you hear me in the corner of the room go, I made some kind of loud exclamation.
Sure you did.
Anyway, sorry. You were heading down a path here.
I was just going to talk about the next thing on our list here. We're done Oscaring, right?
Yeah, I think so. I can't think of... congrats to... The Nerds won. That's what I liked.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, that was cool. I want to see every one of those movies that's in the category. I'm just happy Del Toro gets his due. His other two Mexican-born comrades, and I always forget their names. Right. The Revenant guy and the other guy that did the thing in space with Sandra Bullock, Gravity.
Right, Gravity. Yeah,
they've all had their due. They've gotten their best pictures. They've gotten their multiple things. Del Toro nominated many times. Mm-hmm. I think he's been less appreciated because he comes from a genre film angle where he wants to make horror movies and science fiction movies and comic book movies, and you know that's like Hollywood is warming up to that as a gateway, and he even said it himself. He got up there and said, "This is a door. Genre filmmaking is a door to great things, and this is proof of that." And that was a great speech. He's awesome. He's the real deal, and I love that he won. So anyway, there
if
you
I
go.
Did, and speaking of the Nerds winning, I guess if I did have one thing I would have liked to have seen, I would have liked Logan to get Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Who won that? I forget.
That was Call Me by Your Name.
Oh yeah, give that. Yeah. These guys had only got like little handouts. That would be nice if they could have had
exactly
something more, because Logan was so good. It just happened too early in the year, man.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. People had forgotten about it.
Yeah.
So Friday night, went out to the Mammoth game. We have the season ticket thing, and you know, Mammoth are in full swing. They're doing really well. And it's no secret that I did quite a bit of travel in February, Scott. I did a lot of travel in February, the big problem when you work for yourself and you do a lot of travel is that there's a lot of hours that you don't bill to clients. So February was a very fun month as far as getting out and doing stuff. It was, it's going to make for a very sparse March, a very dry March as far as billable hours and invoices.
Sure.
So, you know, Tina and I have been talking about that. Like, all right, well, we'll just, you know, kind of cut dinner down to a minimum and stuff like that, or you're going out to eat down to a minimum. And but at the Mammoth game, for whatever reason, I decided, and I always do this, like every time there's a game, there's this donation thing you can make to youth sports, and it's a 50-50 raffle kind of thing, and the money goes to youth sports. They split all the money that they get in half, give half of it to youth sports, and then they pick a random ticket at the game. And this is a game with, you know, 12,000 people in the stadium, in the Pepsi Center, the big Nuggets and Avalanche Arena that play out here.
Yeah.
And I've probably been doing that for the last two seasons. So I give them my money, and they give me a little stack of tickets or a little a printout that's got my numbers on it. And lo and behold, I kind of have the last four digits in my head. And lo and behold, they announced the number. I'm like, oh, I think that number is in my range, because I had 5,000 to 5,020, and the number they drew was 5,019 with seven numbers before that. And so I'm like, I'm digging out the ticket out of my pocket, and I'm looking. It's like, and then the screen disappears, and it like goes to flashing some other statistic, some other lacrosse statistic. I'm like, oh, shoot, what was that number? Oh, man, I need to show it again. So I'm watching the game, but I'll also kind of keep an eye on that screen where they sometimes show the number. Comes back up, and I look at it, and I'm looking back down my ticket, looking up at it, like, oh, my God, this is awesome. I actually won the half of the raffle. And managed to get myself about $1,200.
You always do this when you win. You always win. Get lucky with your. You go to Vegas and you win.
People think I do.
Oh man, I've never won anything.
It's just
like
I don't talk about the losses, Scott. That's the gambler's mantra. You talk about the wins. You don't talk about the losses. So
$1,200's
man,
great.
That could not have come at a better time because. I spent a little more than I wanted to at during the Disney thing because I wanted to make sure.
Oh yeah,
we bought breakfast every day for everybody, and
it adds up, man. You buy one T-shirt and you're in debt.
Well,
Orlando.
We went to the grocery store and got stuff for breakfast. I cooked breakfast for those ungrateful people. No, I'm kidding. For Tina's ungrateful brother.
Did you
seven days? I cooked those people breakfast and I even made freaking Mickey Mouse pancakes on Pancake Day.
Oh my gosh! Look at you. How many people were there? Did you cook for? How many?
Eight of us.
That's good.
Yeah,
it's impressive. You get some kind
there
of
were quite a few missing ear Mickey Mouse pancakes that Tina and I ate. But
sure, well, I understand. You guys, you earned those, is how I put it. But you did. That's good. That's hard work. That's not easy. That's a thing you have to do. You know?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yep, exactly. So, I like, made sure Tristan got a few pins for trading and stuff like that and got paid for breakfast, all the materials for breakfast and stuff. So it's like, all right, well, you know, it's a trip. You got to live it up and we can make some sacrifices in March, but it's good. It doesn't cover everything for March or everything that I missed in February, but it definitely helps, and it was a nice surprise to see. So
that's great. Plus there's it's just a fun time out. Get to see a mammoth game and all that.
But now I have all these tax forms and paperwork and all this stuff to fill out.
It's so dumb how that stuff works.
Is like, can't you just hand me the cash?
Yeah, or just give me
give it to me now.
Give me $600 twice or whatever.
They're really hoping that somebody says, it's a lot of paperwork. I don't think it's worth the money. I think I'll just let them have it.
Well, Uncle Sam's got to get his, man. He's got to get his. Right. They got to pay for this new $1.5 trillion deficit increase with something. May as well be some of Brian's winnings from the Mammoth game.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, let's dive into the news. Oh, we're doing things a little backwards today. There is Stump Dunaway, everybody. He's just coming after the break. He had to go pick up his dad, who's visiting, so he is not here for now, but he will be here later, which is why we're doing the things we are. So don't worry about it. He'll be back when Steven
we'll
would normally be
one.
Here because Steven's gone. He's got an eye appointment. It's all right. Mixed up today. But
right now they're like putting that little metal thing really, really close into Steven's pupil, which is like, don't move. I can't not move.
Uh-huh. And you got to keep your eye open while they're like the worst light you've ever seen is shining in it.
Yep.
Hate it. It's even
Which
worse.
Is clear. A or B. A or B.
It's like, no, I can't. I'm blind now. Nothing's good. A and B both suck.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by
the new TMS Frog Pants Overpants Overwatch Tournament. There's a lot of redundancy in there. Is happening soon. And guess what? You can register your teams now. Scott, how do they do that?
Well, it's really simple. All you got to do is go to frogpants.com/TMS, our normal website. There's now a special link there. It'll be obvious what it is. It has a nice big fat subheader for the Overpants Overwatch Tournament. And if you and five of your friends want to sign up, that's awesome. Now, we realize there'll be some people who are like, well, I play a lot on my own, so I don't really have a full team. Can I get on a team? We'll have a way to do that, too. But for right now, this link is to try to gauge how many people have a good locked-in six-player comp that they want to put into this tournament. Now you're thinking, well, what's the point, Scott? What's the point? Well, there's two points. One is to have a whole bunch of fun with fellow Tadpoolers playing a game we all enjoy. That's number one. Number two, we're going to be streaming a bunch of it and calling games and having a blast that way. But the third important factor here, or maybe the most important factor, is there will be a big prize pool at the end of all of this. And when I say big, I mean pretty freaking big. We're going to have a pretty crazy pile of things. They're going to make a team very happy. So keep that in mind that that's also going to happen. I don't have details on what those prizes are yet. We're still early in this process. I've enlisted the help of a couple other people to help sort of organize the tournament. And this is kind of stage one. We just want to get a kind of head count, an idea of who we're dealing with. So again, that's frogpants.com/TMS. Sign up. Tell us what your name is, how we contact you, who your other players are. And if you don't have them all yet, that's okay. Just put in there who you know. The only required fields, I think, are email, your name. And I don't even think it's required to tell us the name of your team yet, because a lot of people haven't chosen yet. But my kids are fielding a team of their own. I've already talked to a bunch of people who are all up in this. So if you want to be part of it, great. And if you don't, that's okay too. By the way, it looks like we're going to focus on the PC version of the game, not consoles, because I don't think we can do like a three game tournament. You know what I mean? Like,
because you can't do one against the other.
Right. None of those player bases play together. They're all separate, which I don't know why the console ones are separate. That may be a Sony Microsoft thing, or maybe it's mostly a Sony thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But on, so we're focusing on the main platform for that game, which has always been PC. So PC is the focus. I apologize to anybody who's like super stoked about this for consoles. Maybe what we do, if this goes well, we can then maybe do a second tournament down the road that's more console based. I don't know. But for now, PC players who we're looking for, go sign up, be a part of it, frogpants.com/TMS.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right, Brian, I got some news for you today. McDonald's, there's a Big Mac record holder, and he is going to eat his 30,000th Big Mac by May. And by May, meaning May of this year.
Oh my God, 30,000?
Yep, his name is Don Gorski.
That's a lot more than eight tacos.
Oh, that's a lot more than eight tacos, dude. I feel like I'm still dealing with the repercussions of those tacos. Are you? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It was a rough week. anyway, Big Mac eating record holder Don Gorski is on pace to eat his 30,000th McDonald's Big Mac by May, according to Fox Business. Gorski was recognized by the Guinness World of Records in 2016 when he ate his 28,788th Big Mac. The record would have to happen whether or not Guinness World Records was there. He told Fox Business on Thursday, "The Big Macs are my favorite foods." Wait a minute. That's a weird way to say that, isn't it?
The Big Macs are my favorite foods. I can't give the guy any other voice. I'm sorry.
No, that sounds right. I can't blame you for that. He says, "So I'm just going to keep eating them every day," he says. He typically eats 14 Big Macs a week. Purchasing them in bulk and microwaving them at home. Oh, gosh, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Would you do that? That's not something
no.
I'd do.
No. Because they have lettuce and tomato in them, and you want that part to be cool and not hot and microwaved. And microwaving just makes the bread chewy.
Yeah.
My God. How could you do that to already a food that seems like it's like teetering on the edge and then call it your favorite food?
Yeah, or your favorite foods. Which is
my favorite foods.
Yeah, Big Macs are my favorite foods. He says, over the past 44 years, Gorski has only gone a day without eating a Big Mac eight times. Right?
Hold on a second. I'm trying to parse the sentence. Over the past 44 years, Gorski has only gone a day without eating a Big Mac eight times. He's only gone 8 days without eating a Big Mac.
Yeah, that's a bad sentence. Why did they write it that
right.
way?
Because I'm trying to make sure that they don't mean eating eight Big Macs. He's only done one day where he hasn't eaten eight Big Macs. No, I think it's the other way around. Oh, my Fox 8. Somebody new needs to write for you.
Yeah, this is bad. Big Macs account for 90 to 95% of his full diet. That's not good. He says, although he does not work out, he stays busy all day long due to his hyperactive personality. I don't know what that has to do with Big Macs, but it's fine.
I guess he's just, do you work out? Nope, but I'm hyper.
I'm hyper and busy.
Right.
I'm very busy. Gorski does not get any special
my
incentives.
My turds are supersized.
he says he doesn't get any kind of special treatment from McDonald's. Pays the same price for his burgers as everyone else. So good luck to you there, buddy. 30,000 burgers by May. Gosh. If you live that long.
Have you looked at the video of this guy?
No, I've been afraid to. Let me look at it. What do we got?
The sideburns. Ponytail and bowl cut are the best combo right there.
It's always the how many.
Yeah. Oh, this is the guy?
That's the guy.
Oh my gosh, that's
that was
guy.
A clip from the 2004 film Supersize Me. Remember that? The hit documentary.
Oh, he's in
man
that?
Who would one day become the Guinness World Record holder for the most Big Macs.
I don't remember him at all from that movie. I saw that movie, but I don't remember it. What happened to, what's his name? Speaking of that, he's basically
Spurlock.
Yeah, outed himself and said, "I've been kind of a douche to women, so I'm stepping back for a while or whatever."
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Did you miss that?
But he only did it for 30 days. He's only a douche to women for 30 days.
Yeah, 30 days, just to see if he could make it to do it.
Just see if he could do it.
Yeah. He threw up out of a truck, and then he never did it again. Oh, I'm thinking of the Big Mac thing again. That's my story. You know, my strongest memory. This is going to shock you, Brian, but my most prominent memory from Super Size Me is him eating 3 days of quarter pounders or whatever, and then just yakking out the side of that truck.
Yeah.
That's my number one memory.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
What? Scott remembers a throwing up movie, an incident in a movie where somebody threw up? Get out of here.
I could actually, if you name a movie, I could tell you whether someone barfed in it or not.
You're like the Mr. Skin of vomit.
And the thing is, like, Daryl.
In exactly 26 minutes and 18 seconds, you can see Anne Hathaway puke.
Remember the Titans when Denzel Washington has to yak before every game. Have this weird memory of it. Anyway, it's probably why I don't like to barf. I haven't barfed since 2005. Not 20,005. That's a long time from now. Nobody's living that long.
Yeah, 2005.
Yeah.
20,005.
We're not going to be there then. New York woman arrested after dumping popcorn on a two-year-old during a movie. So this, I pulled this for you because you get this kind of treatment.
Thank you. I know. This is the woman we referenced in the opening. You're going to love this lady, Brian.
Yeah, you're going to love him. Her, rather. A New York woman and... Whoops. What happened there? That's weird. A New York woman and her father accused of endangering the welfare of a child after the woman dumped a bucket of popcorn on a two-year-old girl during a showing of Star Wars The Last Jedi in a Long Island theater in January. Carrie Carmen, age 25, and her father, Charles Carmen, age 61, were arrested Friday, March 2nd, in connection to the January 2nd incident. According to the New York Post, the New York Post reported that Carmen became angry when the young child was seated next to, spoke while the movie was playing. So this isn't their kid, by the way. This is somebody else's kid.
This is a stranger kid.
Yeah, stranger kid. It's a great new series on Netflix. The child's mother claims her daughter was asking her for a snack and said popcorn when Carmen leaned over, grabbed the bucket from her hand, and dumped it all over the child's head.
Oh, my God.
Carmen then hit the child in the head with the empty bucket, bruising her head, according to the child's mother. Carmen has not commented. Whoops, I skipped ahead. Where'd it go? Oh, crap. Hold on. I screwed that up. Okay, did not comment. Her friend claims the child's mother pushed Carmen and caused the popcorn to spill, according to the New York Post report. The friend said the child's mother became angry with Carmen after she asked her to quiet her child. Here's what I'm going to say. You shouldn't dump popcorn on anybody's kid. Okay?
Yeah, there you go. Okay, good. The more you know.
Yeah, there's your big moment.
What is wrong with people? Like, what goes on in somebody's mind to where they say to themselves, you know, I'm going to take a two-year-old to see the Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I took a different direction than you thought I was going, didn't
you? You went a whole different way. I didn't expect it.
Right turned on that one.
Yeah.
No, I mean, obviously, that's not the way to handle a situation. Even Brian Abbott moviegoer wouldn't handle the situation thusly.
No. Neither would I. I mean, I can't imagine doing it to someone I know, let alone some stranger kid.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what the hell? I might do it to Nick because he's 17 and we're dorking off or something, but...
somebody did that to Tina, like, dumped an entire bucket of popcorn in Tina's lap, sitting next to her. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think there were some... hands and pants shenanigans going on with those people where they had the bucket of popcorn resting on their lap.
Oh, really?
And their hands may not have been holding.
They were holding something, is what you're saying.
Right. I don't think it was the person. I think the person whose lap had the popcorn, I think their hands were in the seat next to them.
Great.
Yeah.
That's foul.
Yeah,
people exactly. Doing that kind of stuff in public, just freaking cut it out. Come on.
I know. Yeah, maybe you get a little charge out of it, but knock it off.
Go home. Get a room.
Get a room.
Final story. A woman with a rare birthmark discovered she is technically her own twin. Now, let me explain this because it sounds weird.
Okay,
on the service.
Good. I'm on pins and needles. How will this be possible?
Edge of your seat. An American singer has revealed that unique birthmark led to the discovery that she has a rare condition that makes her own twin. Taylor Mule's birthmark divides her body into two areas of skin with different pigmentation. And after investigating, she discovered she is one of about 100 people ever to have what is called chimerism. You know, like the chimera, whoa, like a monkey-headed dog. Like a roof, 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 that thing. I don't know why I did that.
Look at her. She's like a Beinar.
Yeah, dude. That's what it's like as a Beinar. That's what I couldn't think of. That's it. Here,
why
look.
Are they calling chimerism? They should just call it Beinar. I suffer from Beinar.
Okay, you guys see that? Split right down the middle. It's hard. It's a little hard to see on the screen here, but yeah. I'm just showing the. But see, one on this side of her belly here, she's a darker pigment, and over here, she's a lighter pigment. Lovely person too. Very pretty.
Very interesting that she, you know, she's just all over in her bikini on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm trying to bring awareness to chimerism.
Well, part of it is
my
she's some singer lady, and probably, you know,
right,
is all in.
Oh, I can see. Right, of course the bikini shots completely explain why she's a singer.
Yeah. No, exactly. She's really belting it out there.
Right.
Says here that she has two sets of DNA. It happens when one unborn child absorbs the cells of another miscarried sibling in the womb, so the surviving baby carries some genes from the other baby. She noticed the difference between both sides of her body. Everything on the left side of my body is slightly larger than the right. I have a double tooth on the left side of my mouth. Sensitivities and allergies to foods, medication, supplements, jewelry, and insect bites on one side but not the other. Specialist in rare conditions revealed to Mule that she has chimera and two different immune systems and from two different bloodstreams. Think of that. That's crazy.
It's really crazy. By the way, I said all that before I read her Instagram post where she says... I'm beyond grateful for the end of support comments emails I've received in regards to being a chimera and spreading awareness. So she really is putting these bikini shots.
Yeah.
Well, she's at least saying that that's why she's putting the bikini shots up there.
Yeah. The only thing that these are not done in somebody's bathroom. These are beautifully shot, you know,
they are. Yes.
Exactly. I don't necessarily buy that. This is her going, look at this weird difference between my skin
right.
with her phone. She's not doing that. This is like...
I am curious, from just a science perspective, what's happening under the bikini, because the stripe doesn't go above the bikini or below. Like, her legs aren't different colors.
Right. It's like it stops. It starts breast line, ends, as best I can tell, hip line.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know. You know what it's like? My sister Wendy and her mad ball that she had removed when she was seven. That was a form of twin. She had a twin that didn't fully develop, and so it ended up being a cyst on her ovary. It had hair and teeth in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not an eyeball. I kind of wish it did, but it didn't. But it had hair and teeth growing out of it. But yeah, in this case, this one's very different.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very Beinar. I like it. Beinar is the thing we're going to use from now on.
Yep.
I don't think that's offensive. I think it's fine.
No. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Brian Dunaway and stump him, and you guys get to call in and try to win a package and prize and all that. After that, we'll have the Trek Nerd, and after that, we'll have a mashup, and there's even more after that. There's so much after that, I don't even know what to do with myself. So before we do any of it, Brian will reach down in his sack, okay, and he will gently pull out a song to play in the middle of the show.
Well, heck yeah, and this one comes screaming out of the bag on its own. I don't even need to pull it from the bag. It just pops out itself.
Great.
I'm trying to say that in a way that won't end up in a Jamie mashup. Martin Otteson played keyboard in a funk band throughout the 1990s, but decided to change his name and become Funkstar Deluxe.
Yes!
And you can kind of guess this is kind of dancey music. I like the name Funkstar Deluxe.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I was Funkstar? he did a remix in 1999 of Bob Marley's Sun is Shining, which did really, really well. Kind of went around the world, selling over a million copies worldwide and going gold in several countries. This is a brand new album that is coming out this Friday, or at least a brand new single, I should say, coming out this Friday. Go check it out. It's Funkstar Deluxe, and the song is called Down to Earth, featuring Marcella Woods.
All right, here it is. We'll be right back.
Oh,
I'm hungry. Oh, man. HelloFresh.com knows I'm hungry, and we've teamed up with them so they can offer you a good deal. They're offering our audience $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the code TMS30. You choose your delivery day that works for you and then pause for weeks that you're out. That's pretty cool. I like that. You don't have a bunch of food piling up at your door in case you take a two-week vacation or cruise or something. And they're very flexible. Lots of selection. Three plans to choose from. Classic, veggie, and family. I have enjoyed every meal I've had from HelloFresh.com. And the last one I had was, the name escapes me. And I've said this on the show before, but I'm kind of a sucker for anything with beef in it. So anytime there's a beef meal, I'm like, yep, getting that one. And it's not like, it's just beef with like something else. It's like fully blown out gourmet cooking that I can do in 30 minutes or less. It's so simple. 30 minutes or less and boom, I've got it. No more time consuming meal planning or grocery shopping. Feel confident with the simple recipes outlined. Oh, they got nice pictures of them, step-by-step instruction cards. And then try things you've never thought to cook on your own, but now you got a chance to do it. Oh, it's so good. Look forward to your weekly HelloFresh box delivery, knowing dinner just got easier. Here's what you have to do. Go to HelloFresh.com and use the code TMS30 for $30 off your first week of deliveries. That's HelloFresh.com and the code TMS30 at checkout. Sorry, HelloFresh. Yeah, HelloFresh.com and the code TMS30. I want you guys to get the right deal. Get it today. It's awesome.
Here's all you have to do. From the top of a package of delicious shredded Ralston, tear off the little circle with the letters RSS printed in it. Mail this little RSS circle with your name and address and 10 cents in coin to Tom Mix, Box 808, St. Louis, Missouri.
Now all I have is a mission. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. That was lovely. That was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Dancy.
Yeah. Got me
once
moving.
Once in a while, a little dancy stuff on TMS Indy in the Middle.
Got me moving, baby. All right. What's now? Oh, I know what's now. Let's get this all fired up. I'm very excited
right. Let's
about
bring
this.
Bringing the other Dunaway, the Dunaway that didn't screw up the Oscars a year ago.
Yeah, which is hard to believe. I know that seems odd that there's such a thing. let's see. Where are we here? Here we go. All right, we're bringing him in. His name is Brian Dunaway, and he will be stumped today. To the benefit of those listening at home. That's at least the goal and the plan. Brian Dunaway, are you there?
You don't know if I'm going to get stumped today.
Actually, I don't.
You don't know me.
I don't
Y'all
know.
Don't know me.
You might nail it. Let's see. Actually, our question, what kind of number question is it? You will... you have a chance here, I think.
You have a chance.
Yeah, yeah. I think you got a chance. Let's take a listener's call. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
It's September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hello, September 9 of 12.
12.
That's a lot of Borg right there. 12 Borg. It's good to have you here. Remind us, September, where do you hail from?
North Carolina.
That's right. Right above. Right,
yeah.
Right above the where you're at there.
Brian's hat.
Yeah,
right
Brian's
in,
hat.
Right, exactly. Brian's hat.
Keeping your head warm. Well, fantastic. Welcome back.
No. Brian is your hat. Because, I'm sorry. North Carolina. You're in South Carolina.
Yeah.
South is below north.
I'm glad I'm not answering the question today.
Hey, Brian, where do you wear your hat? That's what I want to know, because I want to see it.
Where do I wear my hat?
that's the game we're playing. It's called Stump Dunaway. Whoops, why didn't that work? I don't know why. Now it's working. And we're going to throw it around and make this happen. Let's see if we can't win you some prizes, September. But before we do, Brian Ibbett, please explain the rules.
Absolutely. So, September, you're going to march right over here, and we may ask Brian Dunaway a trivia question. May, March, get it? Bet you've never heard those before. You can answer a trivia question that has a number for an answer. And he's going to give his best guess. We're then going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than his guess. If you are correct today, you win a prize package that I forgot to put in the thing, but also, but will include, let's see, it's going to include some games on Humble Bundle and Steam. Let's say you're going to get the, here's what you're going to get. You're going to get the whole Guns of Icarus Alliance package from Steam, courtesy of Matthew Bach. It's going to include Guns of Icarus Alliance, the Yogscast 2017 costume pack, and the soundtrack. All of that for Guns of Icarus Alliance. That sounds like a great, great
game. Yeah, the game is it's like an airship battle thing. Imagine pirate ships, but in the air.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
That's neat, because that was reviewed by Part-Time Gamers before I joined the cast of that podcast.
Oh, well, good.
Oh, really?
That's fantastic.
I've never played it.
All right.
And you'll be able to do a little catching up and finally get to play it yourself.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad there's a little bit of a connection for you. Yeah. The category today is Japan.
Oh, the country. All right.
The country, not the band.
Empire of Japan.
That's
the
right.
The answer is Godzilla. Can I go higher?
Nailed it. Big in Japan. All right, here's your question, Brian Dunaway. It is about Japan. Have you ever been to Japan? Is Asia, have ever had your feet on it?
I have never had my feet in Japan. However, I did have my oldest child go to Japan and tell me all about it, so I'm practically an expert. Bring it on.
Perfect. I spent 2 days in Tokyo. That's all the Japan I've ever had.
Two days in Tokyo this fall.
Here's your question. Japan has a lot of vending machines, and I mean a lot. You can get everything from cans of carrots and sauce to underwater and freshly made popcorn.
The word is
underwear.
Sauce.
Underwear.
What kind of sauce?
I guess carrot sauce.
Carrot sauce? Who knows? In fact, there are so many vending machines in Japan that it has been calculated that there is one vending machine for every how many Japanese citizens? So how many Japanese citizens?
For every one person in Japan, there's a vending machine.
Whoa. All the way around. So for every one vending, you think the answer is one?
You think it's one to one?
A 1-to-1 ratio in Japan. No, I'm
kidding. Not your real answer, eh? What do you think it is?
I want it to be true.
Do you want a hint? Because I'm going to give you a hint. The hint is it's more people per machine than one. There's your hint.
Yeah, there you go. The answer is greater than one.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're the best.
You bet.
All right, so they are known for their vending machines, but there's a lot of people in Japan.
There are.
And there's only so much space, right? So I am going to go with one vending machine per... I'm going to go 62 people.
One vending machine per 62 Japanese citizens. Is that your thinking?
Right.
All right.
They all eat out of the vending machines. That's the thing, right?
Well, they eat out of it.
They get their drinks out of it.
They get their phones out of it. And in some cases, they use a phone to get a phone out of it.
Like little plastic toys like this.
Yeah. Look at that little thing, whatever that is. Torso of something.
Well, there's the whole body, but she's arching her back in a way that just lets it so I can hang her over my monitor.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, be perverse.
Yeah, who is that anyway? Who is that character?
Oh, it's just some girl in a little schoolgirl outfit.
It's just my dream lady. That's all.
All right. Well, keep that on your monitor.
Tiny and quiet.
So Dunaway. You say 62. Brian Ibbett, is 62 the correct answer?
62 is incorrect.
Oh.
September is the correct answer, higher or lower than 62.
Oh, goodness. I am going to say it's actually lower.
Lower than 60. Ooh, look at this. We're taking a risk here. Let's see if it's lower. I don't know what the total...
I fear the stat wouldn't have come up unless it was really shocking.
Sure.
The total population
of Japan, I'm not sure what that number is, but we may look that up in a second. But let's see if you've won. Is it lower?
Congratulations.
It's totally lower.
Right. You're a winner.
There is one vending machine for every 23 citizens of Japan. That doesn't count tourists and that sort of thing. So Brian's...
There are 5.5 million vending machines nationwide in Japan.
Yeah.
And according to businessinsider.com, that equates out to one vending machine for every 23 people.
Seems like that's a good... If you're really into vending machines, seems like a good ratio to me. Also,
it makes sense because, most average size offices where I live usually have at least one, maybe two vending machines. So I guess that's logical. Is that so shocking?
No, they didn't count Brian's tourist pervy lady. They didn't count that.
Whatever.
No, I'm just saying. You're not a citizen. If you were, they'd count it. Well, yeah, no, I know. Just pervy. It's just pervy. It's fine.
It's nothing pervy.
Was there an American equation in that when you were looking?
No, I doubt it. What? Oh, vending machines that we have? That's interesting.
Yeah.
That would be interesting, yeah.
How many vending machines per American? Let's see what we get here.
A lot less than there used to be.
Yeah. It says the vending industry is $30 billion a year industry, employing 700,000 people. 100 million Americans will use one of 7 million vending machines each day. So we can do the math on that. 7 million vending machines, 350 million Americans now? Yeah, 350.
Sounds right.
So yep. I don't know how to do that math. That's hard math. I don't know what it is.
350 million divided by 5.5 million.
Wait, what's the 5.5
billion? Billion, trillion.
5.5 million. There's a lot of people. Machines.
No, there's 7 million, it says. There's 7 million.
I'm seeing 5.5 million vending machines as of December 2017.
Oh.
In America?
That must be newer data.
Oh, you say, okay, I was thinking how many per, I got you, I'm sorry, I was thinking. Yeah,
we're in America.
Vending machines to Americans.
Right.
No. Like how many Americans are buying a Pepsi, really, is what I'm getting at. So if it's 100 million Americans, sorry.
Right, with 350 million Americans.
Well, the big question is 350 million.
Just ask Alexa. Just get on with it.
Actually, I'm going to do that. Let me find out. She knows. Alexa, how many? Never mind. Cancel.
50.
I don't know how to ask her.
Now mine's reacting to you. 50. There's one vending machine for every 50 people in America.
One vending machine per 50 people. Yep. All right. Well, we're not that different then, are we?
If we're saying 350 million divided by 7 million, then the answer is 50.
Yeah, we're not that different than Japan, turns out. We just don't have as cool as stuff. We can't get...
We're not that different. See, there's more that binds us.
Yeah, exactly. I can get Pepsi. I can go get a thing at Cheetos, but I can't get a pervy school girl. I can't get that here. I have to go to Japan to get a pervy school girl. That was another dig at Brian, who's not hearing me for some
reason. Whatever.
All right. Hey, that's it. Well done. And all you have to do is send an email to Brian Ibbett. That's coverville@gmail.com. And September, you will get your goods. And I hope you enjoy those games. I'm sure that you will. Have a fantastic day and stay out of trouble. Congratulations. All right. Dunaway, glad you could do this. Your dad's in town. How's that going? Everything good?
He was in town. We went to lunch. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Father.
Happy birthday, hey, Daddy Dunaway.
Your dad shares a birthday with Justin Robert Young.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's his birthday today.
Let me call him now. He'll be so excited.
Get him on the phone.
Father, guess what?
Oh. He won't. Yeah, I don't know who would care more. Probably jury would. I bet jury would care more. Anyway, well done. It's always fun to talk to you. Have fun. And today at 3:30.
Oh, wait, you can't just boop. Yeah, you can't just boop me off. We got to talk about the boop.
Yeah, it's coming up at 3:30 today. Now, apparently, at the end of today's boop show, Dunaway's planning on spoiling these two games he's been playing forever.
I finished them.
You finished them. So, well, there may be spoilers about games no one's actually playing. So, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. Coming up, I'm just saying, well, we'll let people know. It'll be before, they can hang up, they can leave, you know?
Jeez.
One of those deals. Nerves. Yeah, it's fine. Dunaway is the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Follow him there.
Thank you.
And have a glorious day. I can't find you.
You too, guys.
Can't hang up on you for some reason.
Hang up now.
I can't do it.
Goodbye now.
I can't figure it out.
Okay. Bye, Brian.
I've done
Bye.
It. I've done Bye. It. All right, now let's call.
Just a good old boy.
Let's give Daryl a ring. Literally, I have to call him on the phone.
Okay.
because the way he works is
fine with that.
Let's see what's going on with him. Even if he has nothing, mm-hmm. I have something about.
Well,
Doug
we can
Jones.
Talk about binars.
Oh yeah, we can totally talk about binars. Yeah, it's a good point. Good morning. Is this Daryl Skeels?
Oh, it could be.
This is the mailroom. You've your man vibrator is here. Do you want us to? Whenever I call you on the phone, it feels like I'm needing to make a business call or something from another another office in the building. But I'm not. It's Daryl. Hey, how do we know it's Daryl? Because of this. This is happening.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
It is. Daryl Skeels from all the way up in Seattle, Washington here, talking Star Trek stuff. I don't know what's going on these days, but we'll get to that in a second. I do want to ask you a question. Did you watch any of the Oscars last night?
Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't even realize they were on.
Okay, fair enough. It's totally fair enough and fine that you didn't see them. But Doug Jones, who's in the Shape of Water there, he plays the mm-hmm. fish man.
Okay. The long, lanky Shape of Water.
Yep, he's the long fish man. He came out on stage when Del Toro accepted his Oscar for Best Picture. Best Director, when he came out, nobody came up with him, I don't think. Or maybe somebody did. But when, did you see the guy at the very end, Brian, that just had to say something on the mic, the little bald producer? Yes.
Right. It was funny because this guy was really just saying, hey, let's give it up one more time for Guillermo del Toro. I mean, he said he was going to say in a different way, but it wasn't like something really like, hey, just want to bring up, you know, I worked on this too. And, I was responsible for this. And hey, big thanks to this other group of people that Guillermo forgot to thank. No, it's more like, hey, one more time, give it up for Guillermo.
And then like poor Jimmy Kimmel's like, did you have something you got to say? And he's like, I just want to say one more time for give it up. I'm like, dude, knock it off. Yeah, go sit down.
Exactly. It's his moment. Let him have his moment for Pete's sake.
And that other guy that's in the producer's crew for that movie that wore the weird sleeves and the sneakers and,
Hold up his, like he had his tuxedo sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
And sneakers and unshaven. I mean, come on.
That
you know,
so dumb.
Don't Spicoli the Oscars, man.
He looked terrible.
He did look terrible. I know he was trying to be like, I'm the coolest person in the room here, but it's the like, whole rolling the sleeves up on the tuxedo without rolling the actual shirt up is a bad look.
Yeah. Untied sneakers, rolled up sleeves. My wife called them capri sleeves, is what she called them.
Yeah, right.
And then he had sunglasses on and messy hair and no tie and his collar was everywhere. I get that you're midlifing. I'm not here to judge you, but don't come out there. Don't be that guy. Anyway, Daryl, the point is, when he went out to accept the Oscar for Fish Lady Sex, or Fish Man Sex, Duncan, or not Duncan Jones, what's his name?
Doug Jones.
Tom Jones came out and sang Kiss. No, he didn't. The other guy, Doug Jones, was out there, but very in the back and kind of off to the corner, and it got me to thinking. Once again, we have an Oscars where two of my favorite performers, him and dude what played Gollum, Andy mm-hmm. Serkis, mm. who did incredible work in the third Planet of the Apes movie of this new series this year, War for the Planet of the Apes. He was fantastic in it. And then you got Doug Jones back there in the background. All the cameras are focused on Girly Lady. All the cameras are focused on Del Toro and the rest of the whatever. And they cannot just get enough of all those people. But all I can think about is, yet again, here we got a guy covered in makeup, be it digital or practical, who is once again snubbed, even though they were this huge pivotal part of the production. Do you know what I'm saying? Why don't those guys get their due? Why can't we have... I mean, I know people like us can give them their due because we think it's rad and we pay attention to those things. But the broader public doesn't know who that tall stick is, drink of water in the back was. They don't know.
No, I mean, they should have like best virtual actor or mocap actor or something like that. Because, I mean, the stuff that, like you said, the stuff that Serkis did for Caesar the Ape in those movies is incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing. And that third one was like some of the best acting he's done. Like straight mm-hmm. up really, really good. I'm not saying you got to have, put Snoke in there and every other digital thing ever, but these were really, good performances on their own. And even though I don't think, does Fishman say any words, Brian, or is he just mute Fishman? Does he say words?
spoiler alert, and I won't do it. I know what you're trying to goad me into revealing something about the movie, and I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, does he at one point just suddenly talk and say, "I shit in this water"? Does he say that?
Yes.
I'm like a fish. Yes. I poop where I eat. Okay, but my point is, like, those guys don't get the credit they deserve. Now, in his case, he's not even a digital mocap actor. He's covered in...
Right, he's in a suit. Yeah, and yeah. I think, right, it should be recognized.
Something.
Either its own category or, I mean, how do you do that, you know? Like, combine virtual and...
I got it. Here's what you do. You don't do a regular award. You do a one-time Lifetime Achievement Award, and you bring both those guys out. And you say,
"Oh, there you go.
Here's our special achievement award for being rad, doing a thing that you two have got, like, the resume for. Like, nobody else does it like you guys do it." And just give them some damn credit. Now, I realize some might say, well, Doug Jones is, though he's in Star Trek Discovery, and he's great as that character. He's my favorite character in Discovery. I freaking love it. Mm-hmm. He, and mostly Del Toro movies, right? Like, that's mostly where you see that guy getting work. But I still think he deserves it. Certainly Andy Serkis deserves it. I mean, come on.
If nothing else, they have the technical awards a couple of weeks before the Oscars, and maybe there needs to be some sort of category for best mocap actor, best fully encased in prosthetics actor, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know. I guess he'd be up against the Beauty and the Beast guy, right?
Who was that?
Whoever. I don't know.
I don't know who that was. It's probably Doug Jones. Actually, I know it's not Doug Jones, but I don't know who that is.
A lot of work for.
Can't remember his name. Anyway, but yeah, like, I just think that stuff deserves credit, and it doesn't get enough.
Yeah.
So that was my whole point with that, Daryl. Outside of that, what's going on with Star Trek, or what's your opinion? What do you think? What do you think of Doug Jones? That guy's great.
Oh, yeah, he is great. Yeah, they should have another category for acting without your own skin or something like that.
Acting without your own skin. And the nominees are... Yeah, that'd be weird. That'd be super weird. I just feel like he should have been more up in front. Like, I'm sure if he'd have thought about it, he would have maybe reordered the way that people were. But we got more camera time for the guy with the pulled-up sleeves. Then poor Doug Jones in the back, just barely poking his head out. Hey, it was me. I was the fish man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's important. Yeah. The whole movie hinges around the fish man.
Why does he always have to be in something, in a costume? Why can't we just see him as him?
Well, sometimes you do, right? He's in some things, I guess. Like Andy Serkis. Like Serkis does.
Didn't we see him in, like, Last Action Hero as himself or something, or
let's see. I'm going to tell you because I remember that as well. We saw something for.
I'm looking through.
Let's see. We saw you. You're right. We saw something. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, he's in the Nosferatu remake as Count Orlok.
Oh, he's got to be. Yeah, I was going to say when you find out what he's in, it's like, oh well, of course he's got to be in there as that.
Oh, that's really great.
Oh, he was in Arrow and the Flash on CW as Jake Simmons' Deathbolt.
Was he covered in makeup or was he just himself?
No, he was invisible.
We saw something on film set.
Yeah, exactly. Something.
Oh, I saw him on The Strain, but he was also covered in a lot of makeup, so doesn't count. Let's see. I'm looking. He's been in a million things.
So many things.
He's in that Z Nation show, which is terrible.
Quarantine as thin infected man. Obviously all the Abe Sapien stuff. Silver Surfer he was in that Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Lady in the Water, Pan's Labyrinth, of course.
There's a whole lot of stuff.
Sewer Imp in the Doom movie, which I don't know how we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we need to see that.
He was in the Adaptation, the What's-His-Face movie. As Augustus Margery, and I don't remember anybody in costume in Adaptation or in covered up. So I'll bet we saw him there for sure.
What was our film sack movie though? That's what I can't figure out.
I know. Like, we haven't watched Mystery Men yet.
No, we didn't see the Silver Surfer one.
Nope.
There's a TV movie called The Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning.
Tank Girl, we saw. He was a Ripper in Tank Girl.
Oh. Let's see. We didn't see Tank Girl, did we? Did we see Tank Girl?
Yeah, we saw Tank Girl. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did we or didn't we?
I think we did.
Hold on. Tank Girl. Something's not.
The kangaroo people? Have we not?
Nope. We haven't done it. God, I just did a search. Yeah, it doesn't. We didn't do it.
What? How? I must have done another Film Sec podcast. Another Film Sec podcast series, and I did all these movies that I think we did.
Yeah, we have a lot of Mandela effect.
Like, nope.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. I think it's been on the list, but we've never done it. Anyway,
I'm amazed that we haven't done that.
I don't know where that is. I'll see if I can find it at some point.
Did we see Batman Returns?
No, we saw.
He was a thin clown in Batman Returns.
We didn't see Returns. We've seen the first Batman, and we've seen the Val Kilmer one.
Did you know? Maybe you knew this because it's coming to me that you may have brought this up, but he's the guy in the moon face head for the old McDonald's commercials with Mac Tonight, you know, doing the...
No, really? That's him?
Yeah, that's him.
Well, all right then. That guy, he's awesome. But his best role, honestly, may be this Star Trek role. He's so good in it. I freaking love it. He's a character that of all the characters, he's my most favorite. He's so interesting to me. And I adore him in there. So anyway, Daryl, sorry. We've taken this down a road we didn't expect. Anything else happening this week in the world of Star Trek?
Well, it's a good thing you drove down that road, because there really wasn't any other road.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
The bridge is out.
Kind of what I figured.
Did you hear? Yeah. Did you hear we found a Bynar, a real-life Bynar the show earlier today?
Yeah, there's this news story about this lady, but you probably heard it with the DNA thing. What's the deal? What's the deal with binars? Are they supposed to be that idea, or are we just two colored people and that's it?
Remember the binars? They're the digital talking little people.
Oh, that's the wrong one. What's the one Brian and I are thinking of, where the barber in TNG is slit in half? He's not a binar, is he?
Oh, that guy. Yeah. What is he? The blue guy.
You're right. It's not binars. Yeah. Binars are the little beep 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 guys.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not.
You're not thinking Andorans, are you?
No. Andorans have, no, they're all blue with the
antenna. Yeah, okay. So this is still somebody who's half one color, half another.
Yeah. What are they called?
Hold on. Well, the barber's blue also, I think. But he's got a line down the middle. Like he was made in a mold where they didn't quite do the mold release just right.
Yeah, what am I thinking of?
They're taking an X-Acto knife down and trim the
Star Trek. The edges. Hold on. Star Trek. Alien, two colors. Okay, we're going to find who this is. Oh, there they are. Okay, these are called...
Apparently I'm confusing the Mac Tonight stuff with something else that he was in that was like an action movie with a Cole Porter theme. So never mind.
Okay, these are TNG guys is what these are. Or sorry, TOS guys. Yeah. These are original series guys. They may have been in TNG as well, but Let That Be Your Last Battlefield episode.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Bailey and Lokai.
Yeah. They are pure black, like tar black on one side and like snow white on the other side.
With the Riddler playing one of them.
Really? Oh, yeah. Look, it's Frank Gorshin right there. Yeah, it's totally Frank Gorshin. Yeah. You're right. The Riddler is totally playing one of those guys. All right. Well, we're no further than we thought, though, as far as identifying them. We just know they exist. We know that they're there. So there's that.
Right.
All right, well, that's all Star Trek you're going to get this week, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, there's the guy, the barber dude from Deep Space Nine.
For some reason, I thought he was two-toned, but yeah, he was just split.
No, one-tone. He's just blue.
Oh, yeah, Mott. Mott the barber, yeah.
Yeah.
Mott the barber.
And I don't know why I thought he was two-toned.
But the barber.
Right. Why did I think he was two-toned? I don't know why my memory is so jacked up today. Whatever.
I don't know, but I'm seeing as a new possible cosplay for Dragon Con.
Brian, maybe you're in a split reality where you both saw Tank Girl and the barber had two colors. And he was called a Bynar, which makes sense if you call them Bynars. I realized that the Bynars were called Bynars because they did a binary code for their language.
Yeah.
But but I like your idea that they were also split into two.
They were black and white. Okay, yeah, I was thinking that was Bynars. Totally confusing those.
They're like little gnomes. Aren't they? Like little idiot gnomes.
Kind of.
And they screwed up the ship and they were all skeevy and sneaking around. They were bastards, I remember.
Where did they rank on the intelligence scale with the Packlets?
Oh, they got to be higher than Packlets. They got to be higher than everybody.
Oh,
right?
They're way higher. Yeah, they're super smart.
Yeah, Packlets are. Okay. All right. Packlets are idiots.
But Bynars, they screwed up the ship.
Well, no, it's because they speak to the ship and took it over. They were smart.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
they stole it because they decided not to ask if they could borrow it because the crew might have said no.
Yeah.
Darn binars.
If the binars were hanging with the Packlids would say to the binars, you are smart, make it go. That's what they
Right.
Daryl, you're also smart, and I'm going to make you go. The Trek Nerd on Twitter. Also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, so do that. All right, Brian, before we go out of here today,
yes.
A couple things. One, an announcement. Two, a mashup. Let's do the mashup first. This is from Jamie. Cool. I've been holding on to this one because you were gone. I didn't want to blow it.
I did love listening to Brian's impressions part two, though, while we were gone, too. Loved that.
That was a good one.
That was
a good one. I'm sure there are more of those coming.
This
one is called Goatee Nicks.
So I can already predict one impersonation that's going to be appearing in this one.
I don't remember this, so I'm excited to learn. Here it is. It's from episodes 1433 to 1436. Enjoy. What? I am gonna shit blood.
14, because that's the number of days in February before you get to make love.
Wait, is that how that works? You're not supposed
once married, that's how it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got biscuits and we've got really powdery flavored mashed potatoes if you'd like those.
Like, I had to hold my butt out and go, here, kiss it. But on the whole,
Preparation H is the best.
That's where the bidet works, is on the whole.
You know, boobs and butts and stuff like that all the time.
Sure, there's something for everybody, apparently.
There's not a Coverville boobs and butts channel.
People like filling in them holes, man. Mm.
Lots of hole filling.
Shoot it out like a bar of soap. Done. Dinesh Shivnath Upadhyaya.
Upadhyaya.
Upadhyaya. Upadhyaya. Somebody figured out how to work. ASCII penis. Real good. I'm sure
it's not even a really good one, though. I mean, it's like...
Tell me what your definition of a really good one is.
You know, you can say that that's a rocket taking off from Cape Canaveral at an angle.
Yeah. That's a good sound. You're like Michael Winslow today. That was really good. Boob, 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 butt, boob. Some guy talking. Boob, boob, butt, boob. He'd have to whip out his wiener and smack a dog in the face.
All over my face.
He would have liked this. Let me grind on him.
Zip, 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 zip. Paul is dead.
Let my love take you down. I'm a mountain and I get around.
I'm a goat, man.
You see my reflection in the snow-covered hills. Landslide brought it down.
Well, there you go. That's where the title comes from.
I forgot about that goat stuff. That was really funny. Listen, I like her, and I like Fleetwood Mac a lot, but she sounds like a goat.
Sure. Not as much as Jim Brewer, but sounds like a goat.
Speaking of Jim Brewer, actually, there's no transition here. Tell me about Soundography. It's back from break. What's going on?
Jim Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting our season four in Soundography. We actually already recorded a bunch of episodes, and we're going to record another one today, but... To prepare you for the beginning of next season, which starts next Monday, we have a brand new episode of Soundography. You got to listen to this. This is where we take our podcasting friends, our buddies. We say, hey, there's an album in your library that you feel like you're the only one who knows and loves.
Yep.
And that you want your big things that you want to expose people to this album and say, oh, my God, you've never heard of this. You've got to listen to this. That's where the name comes from. And we had Jury on, birthday boy Jury himself, to talk about Green Jello, which is spelled Green Jelly but pronounced Green Jello. We explain that whole thing too.
Mm.
And the album is called Serial Killers. He talks about that whole thing. We listen to the album with him, and it's a great episode. Soundography.com. You can go check it out today. If you need a little more Jury, little Jury on his birthday, that's where you can find it.
Have you ever heard of these guys? Green Jello is the name?
Yeah, Green Jello. They had to change their name to Green Jelly because they were sued by the Jello Corporation, but they basically spelled it Green Jelly, but that Y is pronounced like an O.
Oh, so they're just getting, because it has the little umlaut on it, or not umlaut, but the little two dots, yeah.
And you need, if you're looking for that music, you almost shouldn't just listen to the album. You should go to the YouTube videos because it was a visual concept album as well, and you got to watch the videos for all these songs too, like... They do a cover of Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols, but it's Flintstones version.
Really?
Yes.
I've never even heard of these guys. This is great. Oh, this is exactly what you want for that show.
It's exactly what we want. And be thinking about something, Scott, because we're going to be tapping on your shoulder pretty soon. We did one with Christy Cates last season.
Yeah.
Did one for Jury, and we're going to do a couple more here this season. So
I'd love to do one. I'm trying to think.
The
what
shoulder will be your shoulder will be tapped.
I got to think of what's not boring, though. I probably have something right. boring. Anyway, whatever. I like this kind of stuff. It reminds me of Gwar.
Very much so, yeah.
Let's take our leave. We're going to be back tomorrow. We got a whole week this week, folks, so no travel, no weirdness. We're going to be here every day and doing it to it, and we're looking forward to all of it. If you'd like to watch us live, you can do that every day by turning up at about 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern. That's 10 a.m. Mountain Time. And that's when we do it live right here at frogpants.tv. Second little thing I wanted to mention, a little early to talk much about it, except, well, actually, I can show a little sample to the chat room. I am making a custom poker deck. Custom artwork, custom everything. It's a standard 52 card deck.
As you say, it's just a custom deck of cards, not necessarily a poker deck. You could play Go Fish with those as well.
Well, exactly. Except there is, I found out, I did a lot of digging. There's a difference between a poker deck size and say, what's the other game people play a lot of? Old people play it.
Bridge.
The bridge cards are narrower. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing the wider ones that are more pokery. Anyway,
poker deck.
We're going to do it as a, it looks like we're probably going to do some sort of Kickstarter, because the idea is you get basic decks with all the art and stuff, but if things go well, we might do theme decks like science fiction theme deck or fantasy theme deck, or other artists may come in and do some cards for us, do a king or a queen, or maybe even an entire deck for my daughter, or lots of other ideas, maybe some a custom chip or a poker chip set that if we hit a certain level, that sort of kind of stuff. But at the very basic level, this is something I've wanted to do since I was a kid. I want to make my own deck of cards, high quality, really nice finished cards with my own custom art.
Yep.
And including the front, card front or back? Back, I guess. Wait, which is back? It'd be card
back. The back of the card is the thing that looks exactly the same on every card.
Okay, the back, not the front, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to do that, and I don't know what I'm doing there yet, but it's going to be something rad, and it will be the same for every card, obviously. And then custom kings and queens. The sample I'm showing people on the chat room right now is a king of hearts. He's just a weird, ugly king with a cat. but there'll be. I've already got the queen of spades done. I got a few others down the road. I even custom did all the hand drew all of the suits. So every heart, every spade, every club, everything's hand drawn.
And, that's awesome!
Yeah,
oh, man.
I'm super excited.
I'm totally back in this Kickstarter.
Been working on it for a while. Super stoked about it.
I don't know if you've heard, Scott, but I've come into a little bit of money recently, so I think I'm totally going to back this Kickstarter.
That's what I've heard. Winning another contest.
That's right, yes.
Anyway, details.
Except for not getting any cash from the trivia.
Details on that soon. And again, a reminder, if you want to be on this Overwatch TMS tournament, check us out at frogpants.com/TMS. Thank you to everybody who supports our show at patreon.com/TMS. Without you, we can't do it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you haven't done it before, consider doing it. Head on over there to patreon.com/TMS if you want to find Jamie and his work for this great mashups he's doing. He's at TMS Mashups on Twitter. And you can find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. That's going to do it for us.
Are those cards going to be done in time for Vegas?
If I have my way, yes. But it's going to be tricky. I don't know for sure.
Maybe you'll have a prototype deck that we can.
Yes. At the very least, something we could look at there, probably. Nice. And I've got a billion projects going on at once, but this one kind of took a front seat lately just because I got a wild hair up my butt and I want to do it.
Yeah.
So.
I love it.
It's very exciting. All right, let's get out of here. Imagine that we get to a level where you could say, we opened up the Brian Ibbett as Joker deck. And what if we had Brian Ibbett, bald Brian Ibbett, doing a Joker cartoon man job? Yeah, see, there's opportunities is what I'm saying. So
I think there needs to be King Scott Johnson, Queen Nicole, Jack.
Like a whole TMS set, Brian. You're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a possibility. Very possible.
Too much hassle, nine of diamonds. The nine of diamonds, too much hassle. All too
right. Hey, hassle. How about a request?
Yes,
Scott?
Please. What do you got?
Justin Munn wrote in and said, "Dearest Slurp and Butt, I want to first say thank you for many entertaining hours while listening to your show at work. Many times I disrupt my coworkers with a huge burst of laughter coming from my cubicle." Anyway, your cubicle laughs? That's gross. Anyway, as you know, I've officially accepted old man since reaching age 40 yesterday on March 4th. If you could play a tune in my honor, that would be great. I will leave it up to the cover man, Brian Ibbotson, to make a wise decision. Peace, and keep up the great work, you two. Well, I was going to play the cover of You Gotta Fight For Your... He likes Beastie Boys, Oasis, Tribe Called Quest, and Travis. Mm. And I was originally going to play the cover of You Gotta Fight For Your Right to Party by the Zimmers, which is an old man band that does covers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've already played that on the show, and I didn't want to pull that out again, so I wanted to get something new. Another cover of the Beastie Boys. This is a band called The Record Company. These guys do blues and funk like nobody's business. This one came out in 2012 on their Covers EP, appropriately titled. Here is The Record Company and their cover of So What You Want.
What you want?
Well, that was loud. Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Join us then. So much, forgot to play the thing. Hold on. There you go. Here's the thing. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
What? Okay. How do we do it again?